Way to Heaven. This is Gabe, and I am joined by Jason St. Nick Spoolstra. Jason, how's it going, buddy? How you doing, man?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Jason, it is a new year. Can you believe it?
All I can think of is Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters.
Hey, buddy, all I know is I'm seeing 2020. You know what's got me seeing 2020, honestly, though?
What's
is
that?
This book. Oh, my gosh. The clarity that we are able to see our lives and to see the different things that are happening. It's amazing.
This is one of my favorite chapters, in all honesty, in part one, because you've already gone through such a hardcore examination, penance, confession, all of that. And now he's saying, that's great, but I want even more.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, just, we're talking about chapter 22 of Introduction to the Devout Life. Chapter 22 is the necessity of purging away all tendency to venial sins. And oh man. So right off the top, St. Francis of Sales is talking about how the Holy Spirit is enlightening our conscience. And the first thing I have highlighted is we see more distinctly the sins, inclinations, and imperfections that hinder our progress towards real devotion. That the more that our conscience becomes enlightened by the Holy Spirit and brightened with this interior light, that everything becomes more visible and more obvious, and we can see these things so much more clearly. And it is so true. I find myself, we've talked about this throughout the process here, not only just becoming aware of our sins, but becoming aware of our tendency to them. I went to confession just before Christmas, and as I was doing my examination of conscience, it hit me that, you know, in our act of contrition, one of the things that we resolve to do is to avoid temptations of sin, the near occasion of sin. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, have I really committed to doing that? No, I've not. That there are still occasions that I have not fully avoided. I have not changed my pattern. I have not, fully reformed the way that I go about my life. And it's the very definition of insanity, right? I'm continuing the pattern that has led me to sin, and I ask for forgiveness for the sin for which I am sorry, but I'm still living this pattern in some ways. And so so I confessed that, you know, and it was great. But it's right in line with what St. Francis de Sales is saying, that we're starting to see this more clearly, more distinctly. And I absolutely am experiencing this.
The title reminds me of indulgences, and understanding in order to obtain a plenary indulgence, to not even have the inclination, even of venial sins, and that tendency, you know, within that. And that's one of those things where it's like, oh man, is that even possible? And what's so beautiful here is Francis de Sales saying, yeah, it is possible, but you have to be, everything has to be right and tuned. And just because, you know, it's the new year, you're like, okay, I'm going to be a healthier guy. I'm going to start working out and eating right. But guess what? That morning, January 2nd, January 3rd, January 12th rolls around, and now you're stressed. Now you still have the things in your pantry. You're still having those same tendencies. You haven't changed what's between your ears. You haven't, you know, started working on all those other little things. You've taken away the big things. Great. You know, you stopped eating fast food. Terrific. But what have you done mentally? Prepare yourself when the temptation comes. Getting at here.
Like, are you making yourself lunch every day? Are you meal planning so mm-hmm. that you're not caught in a situation where you're like, oh no, what do I do? Oh, you know,
this first paragraph, I have a short story to tell this week that it reminded me of this first paragraph is my phone. I have one of the screen protectors on it, and it cracked.
Wow. Nice.
And I didn't realize, I just saw this little chip on the very bottom, and I thought, oh, it's just a little chip on the bottom. because I looked at the screen and the screen was fine. But if I looked at it just in the right light, I could see the hairline crack that was stretched all the way down the screen. And I couldn't feel it, but I could see it if it was just in the right light. And that's kind of what it made me think of right here in this first paragraph, where you think you're good. Okay, I've confessed it. I have no mortal sin on my soul anymore. My conscience is clean. Praise God. But there's still those little cracks that crept in because of that mortal sin. You have those little hairline fractures that even those need to get repaired.
Yeah. And what's really wonderful is that this light that reveals those cracks and fractures is not something that, like, we go, oh no, but rather it's this same light that St. Francis de Sales says kindles in us the desire to be cleansed and purged from them. Mm-hmm. That it's not something that you know, that the awareness breeds despair, but rather it fires us up and fills us with hope because we've identified them and now we can do something and we have a desire to be purged from them. So it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing.
What stood out to me in sort of the second paragraph is the part where he says, you know, venial sins, while they're emit anything so displeasing to God as will offend him in any way, where it's basically like, you know, God the Father, he's just, you know, both of us being fathers, I know exactly how God the Father feels about venial sin. When your kids do something, you're like, I don't like it. But it's not bad enough to, like, punish you. You know, sometimes that's how God looks at us, like, Jason, come on, man.
Yeah. You haven't broken anything in the house.
Uh-huh.
But I'd still really rather you not jump on your bed.
That's the perfect enough. I'd rather you not do that.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
I'd rather you not play catch with your little sister. I mean, something bad can happen.
Yeah. So yeah, I know it's in the last part of that paragraph saying, well, if venial sin is displeasing to God, then imagine what mortal sin is, mm-hmm. right? If this is displeasing to God, the mortal sin is nothing less than a resolution to offend his divine majesty. That when we see venial sin for what it actually is and for how it does displease God, and we're gaining in clarity and in vision to be able to see the cracks and the fractures and the inclinations and the tendencies that we have towards venial sin, and again, we see it for what it is, you know what it also does is it puts in better context the gravity of mortal sin, that it's just that much bigger, that much worse, and that much more deliberate and harmful to our relationship with him.
And then finally just saying, you know, and then once you realize that even that displeases God, your Father, why are we doing it in the first place? Let's just let that go, even that, because that's the last thing. We don't even want to displease our Lord. We want to love God. And more importantly, you know, we want his love. And yes, his love is eternal. It's unconditional, blah, 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 blah. But we are the ones that can have a displeasing tone, and I don't even want that. That's what I'm trying to drive towards.
Right. Yeah, I don't want any hindrance to my relationship with God. I don't want any obstacle. I don't want anything that spoils the sweetness that this relationship with Christ has for me. And I don't want anything to get in the way of me to him. And so that obviously must include not just the acts of venial sin, but even the inclination towards them, the tendency, the habits, the rhythms of our life that have directed us in this certain way up to this point. And so I guess the last paragraph here,
yeah,
he really starts talking about that. He shifts over to a couple of analogies and saying, you know, so venial sins, yeah, it's not a mortal sin, and that's good. But it's good that it's not mortal, but it's still not a good thing. It weakens our mental power. It opens the door to temptations that it could bring. It may not destroy the soul, but it can bring very serious disease, especially if we let it fester.
This is one of those areas where I wish I could get faithful Catholics to read this more. I wish I can get this in the hands, just even just this chapter, obviously this book for sure, but even this chapter to faithful Catholics, because there's so many, and I'm guilty of this too, where I'm like, well, I haven't committed any really mortal sins, so I guess I don't really need to go to confession. I'm doing pretty good. I could still receive communion. You know, communion, it releases, you know, it forgives us. Not only it cleanses our body, it even removes venial sin, Gabe. Did you know that? So I don't really, I'm okay. Like, I'm good. But no, Francis of Sales goes right into it. And, you know, there's the two analogies. I'll if you don't mind, I'll skip to the second one as far as the spiders and him talking about that. No, a spider can't kill a bee, but its webbing, how trivial, can then destroy the honeycomb, can destroy the sweetness within that, and that can suffocate the bees and suffocate the honeycomb. And, you know, just the webbing can be sticky and just get into everything and spoil it, just like how venial sins can be like that webbing. It's just those evil habitual inclinations. And he goes on, you know, to our dress, to the way we speak, the way we carry on ourselves, whether it's with excess mirth. I love that in here. But, you know, food or drink or any of those things, it just can stick to us. And if we let that fester, it's going to spoil us.
And that's what you just said there, if we let it fester. And so that reminds me of the line he says here about that if they pass over the devout soul without being harbored, they do not permanently injure it. But if they are fostered and cherished, they do destroy that sweet savor of the soul.
Yes.
And so that's really what we're talking about here is the lingering, the cherishing of it. And really, no. Keep it moving. Get out of the way. I don't want this to fester. And so I've got two stories. One, so I just touched on how I went to confession right before Christmas. So I also went to confession right before that, like about a week before that. And that first time when I went to confession, I was at a church event, and there was a priest there, and I was able to ask him during lunch. And so we did confession. And afterwards, I'm coming back to lunch and I'm just, you know, greeting everybody. I'm talking to my wife, and she's like, "You went to confession, didn't you?" I go, "Yeah. Why do you say that?" And she's like, "I can tell by the way you're acting." and so like this here, there's a line from St. Francis de Sales. He says that venial sins, the whole bad habits, the evil inclinations, they deprive our soul of all the cheerful readiness that is the very essence of true devotion. And I was like, yes. Oh my gosh, in that moment, right after confession, like it's true. Like my soul is so light and I'm so filled with joy that it's just pouring out of me that it's like, it's visible. It's like people can, like my wife can tell, you just went to confession. I can tell, you know, like you just took a bath. You smell good, you know, like that's how it is, you know? So there's one. And then two, so the second time I went to confession, it wasn't that long afterwards, and there were no mortal sins, but still I wanted to take time. It was about to be Christmas. It was just a few days away. I wanted to really be fully prepared, and so I spent some time with an examination of conscience, and I remember afterwards I was telling my wife, you know, I went in thinking I don't really have too much to say, but son of a gun, you spend some time with a good examination of conscience, and turns out I had a lot more to say than I thought I would. like that's exactly it. That we think these venial sins are just, you know, we don't think too much of them or we think they're, oh, like you said, it's not a big deal or a good, you know, the Eucharist helps to take care of that. And it is true. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but it is so important and good for us to do an examination as often as possible, daily, if possible, to become so much more aware of these tendencies, of these inclinations, so that we can do something about it, so that we can recognize when they're happening, and so that we can change the patterns of our behavior.
The other analogy that Francis de Sales uses is the fly in the ointment.
Yes.
I love this one in particular. Where just the quote that he's using from Ecclesiastes, dead flies cause the ointment to send forth a stinking savor. And just talking about how, you know, flies and how many times, how many times have you been to a picnic and there's flies around? The moment you start grilling, the moment you start putting out the fruit, man, those flies come out of nowhere. You're like, where did all these flies come from? But you know, you quickly are like, cover everything, because you don't want them to sell, you don't want them to taste, you don't want them to spoil the banquet feast that you have prepared.
Yeah, they're the worst. I hate flies. My in-laws are from South Dakota, and so occasionally my wife and my family will go up to South Dakota over the summer vacation to visit and have some time with her extended family. And South Dakota in the summer, especially in the part of South Dakota where we end up staying, which is kind of more in the country, there's just so many flies, Jason. It's unbelievable. There's so many. You open the door for just a little bit and it's like 40 flies flying to your car. It's amazing. And it's not that it's not like it's a, you know, a bee is going to sting you or a wasp is going to sting you or a spider might bite you, or it's not like that's going to happen. Uh-huh. They're just annoying, right? Like they're pests. They bother you. They get in your way. They distract you. They cause chaos. They just disrupt, you know, you from having, you know, just a peaceful time. Like, that's what V. Wilson does. Like, it just gets in there and mucks it up. And, I love that analogy too. I hate flies. They're the worst.
And the point of being, you know, if you have a fly and it lands on the food, you can cut that little piece out and then it'll be fine. But if you allow it to die, or even worse, like legs and but you know, in this case, what Francis DeSales is gonna, if they die in it, then it contaminates the whole thing. It's useless at this point, because now it, you know, beyond everything that you mentioned, they're also a huge factor of carrying diseases and carrying many unhealthy things for us. Such a small little thing that can take down a grown person. Like venial sin. You know, it's just small little thing that can lead us to taking us down.
It's pestering. It's frustrating. But if you do something about it quickly, that's it. That's all it's going to do is be annoying and frustrating. But if you don't do something, then yeah, you're right. Then so the results can be so much more grave.
I think that's it. Unless if you have anything else.
No. I feel like we've covered it really, really well. No, that we really need to purge this tendency that venial sin is still sin. Mm-hmm. And so we want to root it out, because we want this devout life, this wonderful, sweet, devout life that St. Francis de Sales is pushing us towards.
And I would say, like, this is a great – if you want to have a New Year's resolution, if you're listening to this at the time of the new year, let this be a great New Year's resolution to rid yourself of even the tendency to venial sins, those tendencies that you know, especially if you're a faithful Catholic or a recent convert and you're like Gabe and you're going to confession on a very regular basis. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. But no,
I'm just that much of a sinner, Jason. That's all it is.
But the beauty of going to confession on a regular basis is you can start picking up on those tendencies that lead you into that mortal sin, those little inclinations, those venial sins that pile up, or that domino effect, if you will. So if you're listening to this now, let that be a New Year's resolution. If you're listening to this and it's, you know, July or August or whatever, doesn't mean you can't start now, right? Just because it's a, you know, New Year's doesn't mean that's one of my favorite things to do. Let it be a resolution
for whatever time you listen to this.
Amen. Amen. Well, that'll do it for us for this episode.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, guys, do us a favor. Visit us on our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. You can interact with us there. You can leave us a comment on any of the episodes that we put out. Also, please do us a favor and give us 5 stars on whatever podcast player you're listening to. Leave us a comment, a review, and share. That would be the best thing. If make this your resolution heading into the new year, that you want to share this podcast with your friends and with your family.
Or if, you know, if you're listening to this during Giving Tuesday for Thanksgiving, or the, you know, whatever Tuesday after, right? It's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And Giving Tuesday, like, you know, just give this to people. Be like,
this is a wonderful thing to give. Absolutely. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week, and have a wonderful week. And until then, love you. Bye.
Love you.